Last week we learned about the Baal Tshuva, who chooses not to wipe out his or her past. We spoke about the experience Rav Soloveitchik described of a person who suddenly recognizes what it is that they are missing in life. And Rav Soloveitchik then went into a beautiful description of the feelings that we have when we realize what it is that we're missing in many of our own personal lives. We tragically sometimes lose a relative, and at those moments we feel so empty, we feel so lost, we feel almost forgotten. And this is what I want to pick up with this week, on that very theme that Rav Soloveitchik, that we started with last week in Al HaTshuva, that's what I want to speak about. I've copied for you a number of places where Rav Soloveitchik actually discusses and opens up his heart, literally, about the description of loss that he has felt at particular points in his life. And the reason why I've put this here is just to give us more of an appreciation for what it is that he was trying to describe last week when we read in Al HaTshuva together. So let's go read in the English as follows. So first of all, we know that Rav Soloveitchik, I don't know, for those who are familiar with Rav Soloveitchik's various drushas that he gave, but he had a tremendous affection for his wife. He had a tremendous love for his wife, and it's something that he spoke about very publicly and wrote about. And I just put a little bit of that in here, just so that we get an appreciation when he spoke last week in Al HaTshuva about what he felt like when his life was changed, when his wife was no longer there. You'll appreciate a little more what that means. So in the dedication to the Sefer that was written, The Lonely Man of Faith, Rav Soloveitchik writes in the beginning as follows, to Tonya. Tonya was his wife, a woman of great courage, sublime dignity, total commitment, and uncompromising truthfulness. So again, it's a very Rav Soloveitchik kind of description of a wife, but it's a very beautiful description. And then you look in the next paragraph, which is not from that Sefer, it's from a different book that they printed called Before Hashem, You Shall Be Purified. And there Rav Soloveitchik writes as follows. Read this very beautiful description that he has of the feelings of loss when his wife is no longer with him. On the seventh day of Pesach, 1967, I awoke from a fitful sleep. A thunderstorm was raging outside, and the wind and rain blew angrily through the window of my room. Half awake, I quickly jumped to my feet and closed the window. I then thought to myself that my wife was sleeping downstairs in the sunroom next to the parlor. And I remembered that the window was left open there as well. She could catch pneumonia, which in her weakened state would be devastating. I ran downstairs, rushed into her room, and slammed the window shut. I then turned around to see whether she had awoken from the storm or if she was still sleeping. I found the room empty. The couch where she slept was neatly covered. In reality, she had passed away the previous month. The most tragic and frightening experience was the shock that I encountered in that half a second when I turned from the window to find the room empty. So Rav Soloveitchik here is really describing what the shofar is supposed to do. And he says the same way that he was woken up into the reality that his wife that he thought was in front of him is no longer alive, that's what the shofar is supposed to do for all of us. Uri Yishenem Mishinaschem, it's supposed to be as jarring, it's supposed to be as surprising as that experience was for him. I was certain that a few hours earlier I had been speaking with her, and that at about 10 o'clock she had said goodnight and retired to her room. I could not understand why the room was empty. I thought to myself, I just spoke to her, I just said goodnight to her, where is she? And this was bothering him, because his wife had just passed away, and now he realizes that the woman that was always there for him is no longer available and is no longer going to be responsive. Last week we read in the Sefer Al HaTshuva, and here I just brought from the English version, Rav Soloveitchik writes the following. Given that background of how much he appreciated his own relationship with his wife and how much that meant to him, he writes as follows. The longing for one who has died and is gone forever is worse than death. When we feel that loss, when we feel what we're missing, the soul is overcome and shattered with fierce longing. Several days ago, I once again sat down to prepare my annual discourse on the subject of repentance, which is his tshuva drasha that he gave every year, which Al HaTshuva is written from. I always used to discuss it with my wife, and she would help me define and crystallize my thoughts. This year, too, I prepared the discourse while consulting her. Can you please advise me? Should I expand this idea or cut down on that idea? Should I emphasize this point or that one? I asked, but heard no reply. So he's very uncomfortable over the fact that he's having a conversation with his wife, and for some reason, there's no response. Perhaps there was a whispered response to my question, but it was swallowed up by the wind, whistling through the streets, and did not reach me. So that's what we started to talk about last week, that the feeling of loss that a person has when they recognize what it is that they are missing, what it is that they no longer have, something that they used to treasure, something that they felt so close to, and now is no longer, is something that is very surprising, and often it's very jarring. If you look, the Rav writes in another one of his books a point that will lead us straight into our learning tonight, and that goes as follows. Man is usually late in value judgments, meaning very often we wake up too late to appreciate the things that mean the most to us. His appreciation of persons, things, and events is a product of hindsight. In retrospection, man discovers the precise value of someone who was, but is no longer with him. This delayed understanding and appreciation is painfully tragic. It's painfully tragic when we wake up and appreciate and realize what it is that we had. While the departed was near and we could communicate, we were only partially perceptive of his or her identity. Our awareness of his specialness as someone vital and precious to us comes at the very instant he departs and withdraws into the midst of remoteness. Only then do we inquire with painful longing, "Who was he who brightened my days? What did he mean to me? Why do I feel so bereft and so disoriented? What exertions or treasures we would now readily expend for only 5 minutes with them? How much we would give up just to have another 5 minutes to open our hearts and minds to them, to make amends, to say what was left unsaid, and to do what had been neglected." How many of us go through that experience where we feel, if only we had another 5 minutes, if only we can open up our hearts, if only we can speak once again to somebody, to something that we treasured so much. And with this introduction in mind from the various writings of Rav Soloveitchik of what it means in his life, as he opens his heart to what it meant to him when he suffered loss, let's get into what he writes here in Al HaTshuva. You look in page 181, where he has the heading Atzmasam Shel Ga'aguin. Right? Otzmotam means the severity, the tremendous strength of longing. So we begin as follows. Kol Adam Ne'amad Bimei Chayav. Each and every person encounters and sometimes resists throughout the experience of their life. Lenochach Imut Tragi Ze Shel Ga'aguin. We are confronted with the most tragic and devastated feelings of longing and of languish. El Ze Shahaya, on this which was, Ach Lefnei Zman Katzar, so recently, in our recent memory, to something that we know was here, to something that we are very deeply connected to. Kol Karo, we were so close to it. Ve'ata Rachok Uvilti Musag. And now, that very same item, that very same relationship that we had, is so inaccessible, it is so remote from us, it is something that is so abstract and we can no longer tap into it. And he suggests that every person throughout life goes through at some point that kind of feeling. Everybody loses something that they felt was very dear to them, was very close to them, and that they just now have no accessibility to anymore, something that they're so distantly removed from. Gaguim Eila, these very painful feelings, Milavim Haim, they are accompanied by Regesh Ashma. They are also often accompanied with feelings of intense guilt, of regret, and sometimes of shame. Harodev HaSa'adam, that pursue, that harass a person. V'yachalud Chofoto Ad HaShigaon, and it could push a person to insanity, to hysteria, when we think so much about what it is that we're missing. Ma Ma'od Rotze Adam LaHasig Madga Im Ha'ahuv Shenisrachek. How much we would love to approach and to gain access to that which is so treasured, to that which is so endearing to us, to that which is so beloved to us. Ach kama lo reali b'hadavar. But as we know, it's not realistic to have such expectations. We want that our grandparents should come back to us, that our parents should come back to us, that someone who we love, a friend. But it's not a realistic expectation, it's a fantasy. Kama eno nitan lehizgashem. We know that that cannot materialize, such a thought, such a wish. It cannot come true. Hare ha-neshamas ha-mevukashas halalo, these neshamas that we so badly want, that we so much want to have another opportunity to be with, shruyos rachok rachok mikan, they are resting in a place that is so distant from where we are. Tachas kanfe ha-shchina b'merchak bali madeid, it is in a distance that is infinitely away from us. It is immeasurable the distance that we have now to those neshamas, to those who we love so much, and to those who we no longer could connect with. Bitzura Domeh, says Rav Soloveitchik, in a very similar vein, Choseres Tofa Azu Bebal Tshuva. All that we've been describing about everything that we feel, the loss that we miss out on when there's something that we no longer have in our lives, that is the very same experience, that's the same phenomenon, that's the same feeling that a Baal Tshuva has as well. What does he mean? Kishe Yehudi Chote, when a Jew violates, transgresses an Avera, Harehu Megaresh Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimechitzasu. You are basically ejecting God from your environment. You are dismissing him from your surrounding. You're telling him that you don't want him to be a part of your life. Chilul Shabbos, Achilas Trefus, Isuri Arayus, all these Averas that a person does, whether it's Chilul Shabbos, and don't think that Chilul Shabbos only means someone who drives a car on Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos, we're all Mechal Shabbos. We don't keep Shabbos properly. We don't know all the laws of Shabbos the way we're supposed to know them. The Mishnah Berurah writes, how can a person even think of keeping Shabbos properly before they've learned through all the halachas of Shabbos? It's impossible. It's impossible that we don't have some kind of Chilul Shabbos every single week unless we know everything inside and out, and we don't. So we are all in some way guilty of this. But it really goes for any kind of Avera, for any kind of transgression. When a person goes through that experience of violating an Avera, Matilim Mechitzas Barzel Bein HaAdam LeElokim. In effect, you are constructing, you are building a Mechitzas Barzel, a metal, an iron wall, in between yourself and God. Behaschala Yesh Ve'ein HaAdam Margish Bekach. In the incipient stages of ourselves violating an Avera, we don't feel that distance. We don't feel that God is not present. We think we're still God-fearing Jews. I'm still keeping Shabbos the way I'm supposed to. Okay, I cut a little corner here. I'm an honest person. Okay, I cheated a little bit on income taxes. Just a little. Doesn't mean God is not present in my life. It doesn't mean that I'm not a God-fearing Jew. It doesn't mean I don't have a relationship with him anymore. We don't realize that he's distant. We don't realize that we are somehow pushing him out of our lives. Hu eino tofes ma kore kan. Often a person doesn't even grasp, doesn't understand what happens, what the consequence is when they do that. Kemoshi yeshva adam she'eno margish miyades kol ha'ason she'arad alav im petiras echad miyakirav. The same way that we often find, let's say you have a young child who loses, unfortunately, rachmana litzlan, you have a young child who loses a parent. Often the child is at a loss to understand the depth of the tragedy. The child isn't old enough, isn't mature enough to understand that parent is no longer going to be there. The parent is no longer going to nurture you. The parent is no longer going to love you because they're not here anymore. So we look pitifully on a child like that and we say, not only is it sad that they lost the parent, but it's so sad that they don't even appreciate the loss that they're going through. They don't understand the gravity of the situation. How can they? And he says the same way we find that in human nature, that's also in spiritual nature as well. We push the Ribbono Shel Olam out of our lives often, and we don't even realize the magnitude of the act that we're doing. We don't even realize the gravity and the consequence of that which we are involved in. Rak acharei harash, sometimes after the noise, after the distraction, after the commotion, somehow settles down. Kavor yimei hashiva. Sometimes people are distracted during shiva. They don't even have a chance to realize that the parent is no longer, or the child is no longer, or the sibling is no longer, because they're so distracted with all the visitors, with all the people who are coming to take their minds off of the loss. Or perhaps sometimes it happens at the shloshim. After you go through a month of not having the person, all of a sudden, one day it hits the person and says, wow, I no longer have that parent in the world. I no longer have that relative that I loved so much. And at that moment, when it finally hits the person, hu margish pit'om ki chayav nizdaldalu, you all of a sudden have this immediate feeling of being deflated, of being abandoned, of like you're a dangling person who has nowhere to hang yourself. You're totally empty. You feel ki beso chariv. You feel that your whole world, your whole life has been devastated, has been destroyed, you've been wrecked. Ki avda ha'pina ha'intamit ha'ikara lo bioter, because you have lost the focal point that was the most intimate focal point of your life. It now hits you that that is no longer a part of your life. Kacha b'chai ha'prad, and if this is the way we feel in our personal lives, b'istalkusha shal nefesh karova, when we lose somebody who is very dear, who is very close to us, kacha gam b'chayav haruchaniyim shel ha'adam. That is the same experience that we go through in our spiritual existence as well. B'istalkusha shel elokim mimenu ekev chata'av, when we have that experience of pushing God away from us because of the transgressions that we violate. Lifamim margishim ba'avida ka'avur hashiva. Sometimes, just like after Shiva, a person sometimes realizes the colossal loss that they have now suffered, so too here. Sometimes at the end of Shiva, so to speak, we wake ourselves up and we realize, what have I just done? The Gemara says in Masechta Sota, Ein Adam Chote Elam Ke Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. How often have we done something wrong and then we regret it 5 minutes later? We know that there was, I can't believe, what did I do? Why did I do that? Was it really worth it? And we kick ourselves. How many times did we send an email? We didn't write it exactly the way we should have. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, when everything settles down, a day later, after the Shiva, so to speak, you say to yourself, why did I just do that? It wasn't worth it. The consequence is something I'm going to have to live with now, and there's no taking back what I did, but it just wasn't worth it. And that, says Rav Soloveitchik, is, so to speak, the Shiva period, which, just like so often we have people who are distracted during Shiva, whose minds are not thinking about the loss, but after Shiva, or sometimes after Shloshim, it hits a person and they realize what it is that they're missing, what it is that is no longer a part of their lives. That is the same experience that we go through when we consider a mistake that we've made in our spiritual existence as well. Lifamim, sometimes, says Rav Soloveitchik, Yecholos la'avar shloshim ve'arba'im shana. Sometimes you have a person who gets so caught up. You know, sometimes I think about, you know, the Madoff scandal or things like that. How's it possible? How's it possible you can do such a thing and think you're going to get away with it? We live in a country where people don't get away with things anymore. Right? You can't hide so many things anymore. So why is it that someone can think? And the answer that is clear is, you get so involved in that what you're doing, it takes you 30, 40 years sometimes to wake up and realize, what I'm doing is really not worthwhile. What I'm doing is really going to get me caught, is going to get me into major trouble. It's not a consequence that I'm willing to stick with. It's not something I'm willing to live with for the rest of my life. But sometimes it takes a person 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Just like it takes a person the Shloshim or the Shiva to realize a loss, so too sometimes it takes us a very long time to recognize the consequence of what it is that we have destroyed by the act that we've done. Sometimes it takes 30, 40 years, at shechashim lepeta rekanus, until all of a sudden we wake up and we feel and we perceive that emptiness, that gaping hole, that void that we have created in our own lives. Tohu vavohu, ha'avelus al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That feeling that we have at that point when we realize it, that's the avelus al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's, so to speak, sitting Shiva and having shloshim for God Himself, shenistalek min ha'adam ha'chote, because God has taken leave. There's a gaping hole in your personality now, because God is no longer a part of you. Hikamo avelos al ava eim ahuvim. That should be the same to us as somebody who's going through the steps of mourning for a beloved parent. Gamim himu ucheres, even if sometimes it takes us a long time for that to settle in, for that feeling of a loss, so falavo, it does come and hit everyone at a certain point. Sometimes it takes longer, but it hits everyone at a certain point. Himu chracha lavo. It is imperative that that comes. That's part of the human condition. At a certain point, we wake up and we realize what it is that we're missing. And he brings that as an analogy to try and explain what it is that we're supposed to feel every time we violate an aveira as well. We have, so to speak, pushed God out of our lives, pushed Him out of our surroundings, said, you're no longer a part of my environment, no longer in my Dalet Amos, and then you wake up one day and you say, the same way I no longer have a parent or a grandparent, I no longer have God in my life. And it hits you like a ton of bricks. And sometimes it takes a very long time. Va'az, and then when we realize, he writes, ba'im ha'pachad v'habadidus, all of a sudden we start to feel the fear and the loneliness. Hazara, sometimes we feel peculiar, we feel strange feelings. Hanichur, we feel alienation. Harichuk, we feel estrangement, we feel separated, we feel withdrawal, we feel indifferent. All these kinds of feelings. Ola v'goa ha'itzavon b'chayim. All of a sudden we become depressed, and we become despondent, we become miserable. Uposhetes harikanas b'nefesh. You know why you feel that way? You know, sometimes you do something and then you just feel miserable about yourself. Why do you feel so miserable? So what? Just forget about it. Move on. What's the big deal? You know why? Because you realize what a gaping hole you've created inside of yourself. Because you realize how empty you are now because of that which you have done. It's almost as if you took a gun and shot your own parent. Imagine what you would feel after you wake up from such an experience and realize what you just did. You're the cause of the loss of something that was so dear to you. And that's the same feeling that we have here. And this is why sometimes we feel so despondent. Bil'adei hakreva ha'intimit shel habore el ha'nefesh ha'mispalelas. Without that intimate connection that everyone is supposed to have with God, ein simchas chayim la'adam. We don't have satisfaction. Ve'ein tikva, there is no hope. Go to the next paragraph. V'hayehudi, lo chashuv be'ezel gul gilhu. When we have a Jew who goes through this experience, who's thinking about it, v'lo chashuv be'ezel gilhu, it doesn't matter how old you are, le'ezel tachanah higiyah machayav, doesn't matter what plateau you're on, what stage in life you're on, you can be a parent, a grandparent, a brother, a sister. Maschil lihisgagea l'ribono shel olam. You come to a point in your life when you begin to have a yearning, to have a craving, to have a languish for God, because you realize how much He is not a presence in your life. The same way that the Gemara tells us, we spoke about it last week, Rav Ada Bar Abba, his Rebbe passed away, all of a sudden a question came up, he wasn't able to ask his Rebbe the question, and he realizes what a loss he suffered, and he realizes how much he's missing in his life without his Rebbe. V'adam shekamoti, and Rav Soloveitchik writes, and the same way someone like me, misgagea l'ra'ayaso, the same way someone like me feels the pain and the agony because my wife is no longer alive, avobal b'sha shegaguam eila shalanu enam rialim. As much as I, he says, feels the pain of no longer having a wife, it's a fantasy. I wish she was here, but she's not coming back. Kimi shahalach shuv lo yashuv. Somebody who's gone from us is not returning. Hare hagaguim liribono shel olam rialim. If you contrast that to the feelings of longing, of languish that we're supposed to feel for God, that is something that is a realistic goal. V'ha'adam nimshach elav, and a person is pulled and is drawn to it. Ratz likrasa b'mehiras b'chol kochol. Who ruts maher yoter mi mashahaya ragil laratz plifnation israchik. When we wake up and have that realization, we have more passion, we have more enthusiasm, we are more obsessed with having a relationship with God, with understanding how He fits into our lives, than the feelings that we had before we made the mistake. After we were locked up, all these feelings inside of ourselves, that drives us, that's what motivates us. Mashal, so he tries to explain this point. My father is dead, but imagine my father would come back to the world, God would tell me one night and say, tomorrow your father's going to be in this and this place for 10 minutes. Make sure you're there. Loha yisi ratz achorav v'mehiras ha'ar mamish? Would I not run after him with lightning speed? Would I not take those 10 minutes and savor every second of it? I never appreciated my father as much when he was alive. All of a sudden he's taken away. I realize how much I'm missing. God tells me I'm going to send him back to the world. Would we not give up everything? We would be more excited. We would be more enthusiastic to go and have that audience with our own parent than the audience we were able to have with them throughout all the years of our lives. We were never that excited. We were never that exhilarated from them. Kach ratz achare habore hachote sha'asa tshuva. That is the same passion, that's the same experience that somebody who's chozer b'tshuva feels as well. God was always a part of you, but you never appreciated it. And sometimes it takes us having the loss of God from our lives, feeling that vacuum, feeling how much He's missing, feeling the gaping hole that we have created inside of ourselves, in order for us to be more enthused, to be more excited about developing a new relationship with Him. And that's going to be more profound than anything we ever had before that point. Bisar b'yisurim, you're willing to go through a storm, you're willing to go through troubles. Kol kulohu nischav. Nischaf bekach etanim el ha'ein sof. You are pushed with such an adrenaline to have a renewed relationship with God, more so than you had before you made any of these mistakes. Ayidei dechaf zeh shel ha'gaguim. Through these very difficult, painful moments that we feel, ole bal tshuva al ha'tzadik ha'gamer. You are now greater than the tzadik gamer who never made a mistake in his life. You are greater than the person who never violated an avera. Eschetah lo shachach. Don't forget the experience of chet. Don't forget the mistake that you made. Asur lo lishkoach oto. Hachet hu koach hadofeich. The chet, the mistake that we made, is the energizing force that pushes us. Hu mishamish lo keresh kvitzah la'alot mala. That is like the crutch that we're supposed to lean on to push and propel ourselves forward. Legabe bal tshuva kazu, when we talk about a bal tshuva like this, of this kind of nature, ein ha-tshuva mitzayenes hefsik, our tshuva process does not mean that we have a break in life and we say, well, all those years of mistake that I made, out the window, forget about it, rip those pages out of the diary like you wrote before. Rather, he says, ela hemshich, the tshuva process is supposed to be a continuation. It is the protraction of our lives. It is the perpetuation of life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in those kind of moments is not an overall pesha. He doesn't step over those moments of life and say they are as if they didn't happen. Ela nosei avon al pesha. We elevate and God elevates with us those moments of chet, those moments of mistake. And that is why, says Rav Soloveitchik, sometimes you have someone who's about tshuva who is so excited. And so often we find this. There's a letter that I once saw from the Piazetzner Rebbe. It's written in the Sefer Tzav Vezirus. It's an unbelievable letter. He has an intimate conversation with God and he says, you ask if I want anything more in my life. I don't want to learn anymore. I've learned to my capacity. I've done everything I possibly could. I don't want to daven anymore. I've davened to my fullest capacity with all the greatest kavanah. I don't want anything else in my life from you, God. The only thing I would wish for, the only thing I would die for, Rotze ani lehisgayer, he writes, wish I only had the opportunity not to be born a Jew and to come to an understanding and an appreciation of what it means to be a Jew on my own. Because sometimes a person who lives a life who's not born into our system, who doesn't have that appreciation that so many of us grow up with, has such a deep and profound appreciation of what it is to have a connection with God. The Gemara tells us that there was one Tana, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was one of the greatest Tanaim of all times, but the Medrash tells us that Rabbi Kiva was someone who had a past, who had a history. The first 40 years of his life, he was a listim, he was a bandit, he was a immoral person, he wasn't involved in learning at all, he was not a Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says he comes, he becomes one of the Tanaim, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva is the only one of all the Tanaim of all of his generation. He is the only one who is Darish Tile Tilim Shel Halachos Al Kol Kotz V'Kotz. You ever looked in the Sefer Torah? On top of the letters you have Tagim. You have little symbols on top of the letters. Rabbi Kiva said, not only am I going to learn out Halachos from the words of the Torah itself, but I'm going to derive Halachos as well from those little signs on top of the letters as well. There's something significant there too. And the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, points out, why is Rabbi Kiva the only one who's able to learn something, who can derive a message from the tops of the letters? How come all the other Tanaim of his generation couldn't? Says the Ksav Sofer, you know why? Precisely because Rabbi Kiva is the one who had that previous history. Precisely because Rabbi Kiva is the one who went through that awful past, who had that upbringing, who was not in appreciation of Torah when he was young, and he came to it later in life. He has a much deeper appreciation than anyone else has. He has an insatiable desire to understand not only every word of the Torah, but every symbol on top of the letters as well. He says, I'll never get enough of this. For the rest of us, we're not so excited. But for Rabbi Kiva, he can never get enough of it. Because he knows what it means not to have it. He knows what it means to live a life without having that. And that's why he feels the loss in a much greater way. And when he comes to the recognition of what's right and the proper path in life, he goes to the extreme. He goes absolutely to the extreme and he feels, I will not stop short of anything. That is the lesson of Rabbi Kiva. That is the lesson of the Baal Tshuva. That is something that we can take with us. I think so often, you know, we come to shul and we watch people so often in our shuls. We don't treat the Beis HaKnesses the way we should. And we ask ourselves, why is it? We all know you're not allowed to talk during davening. There's nobody who doesn't know that. There's nobody who doesn't know that we're supposed to respect the Beis HaKnesses. And it's obvious that the reason why we don't treat it with the proper, with the requisite respect that it deserves is because we don't know what it means not to have one. The Tosas Yom Tov writes that in his days there was a massacre, there were terrible massacres, and he writes, It was simply because people didn't understand what it meant to have a Beis HaKnesses. And if you don't appreciate what it means, God says, I'll take them all away, and then you'll begin to appreciate what it is. And then you'll wish that you had one. I'll destroy it, and then you'll recognize what it is that you're missing. You'll recognize what it is that you took for granted. And so often, that is the case. Rav Soloveitchik, as we read in the English before, he writes that we think in retrospection about our value system. But so often it's too late when we think about that. But when it comes to the Baal Tshuva, it's never too late. Because the person always has the opportunity to bring back the God that was once there into the life that you lived. You can bring him right back to the place where he was. And it doesn't mean that you forget about your past, and it doesn't mean you wipe it out as if it never existed. It means that you grow from those experiences because you are going to be more enthused, you are going to be more energized, more passionate to have a deeper and more loving and profound relationship with him than you ever had. So we don't have enough time to read the rest of it, but you can all read it on your own. I just want to end with something very beautiful. Rav Soloveitchik taught us here about how he felt feelings of loss in his life when he no longer had those who were so close to him. I did see a beautiful write-up about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein writing about what it meant to all of our generation when we no longer have Rav Soloveitchik in our lives. And I think that's just a beautiful way to end off this discussion, how he talks about what it is that we're missing. For some of us, this was a first taste of what it is that Rav Soloveitchik left over for us to read a little bit of the Alei Tshuva. Is a beautiful experience. I would suggest reading many other of his beautiful Svarim. But here, you have a little bit of an appreciation what it is to no longer have Rav Soloveitchik in the world. What does it mean? So you look on the English here. Number five. You look on the English on line number 36. I'm very proud of myself for this lines here. So the line number 36, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein writes as follows. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, and he says as follows. As an orator, the Rav had no peer in the Torah world. There was no one who knew how to speak like him. But it is the poet in him which has so touched and enthralled us. He has opened for us new vistas of spiritual experience, vistas within which the drama of human existence, in the form of confrontation with oneself, the cosmos, and above all, the Ribono Shel Olam, all within the context of halachic existence, in the most rigorous Brisker formulation, is charged with hitherto, unperceived force and meaning. Skip down a line to line 42 in the middle of the line. It is not as if we had felt tremulous anxiety as lonely men and women of faith, mired in the pursuit of mundane daily concerns of faith, but in a minor chord, meaning, before Rav Soloveitchik came around, it's not like we were all dealing with philosophical questions, but now he brought it to a new level. He says, no. Most of us had simply never confronted that reality. My father told me that many Rabbanim tell him, you're not allowed to talk about God and Shul. Not allowed to talk about God and Shul. Because God is not something we don't deal with that. It's not something that's in the conversation. You can have people who go through all of high school, all of yeshiva system. They have no idea where God fits into the picture because we don't talk about it. Rav Soloveitchik raised it into our consciousness. The Rav did. What we have missed, he experienced. What Rav Soloveitchik was able to feel in his life is something that we don't even understand in terms of the dichotomy so cherished by him at both ends of the scale. Godless hamochin, which means the depth and force of a powerful mind mastering its environment and impacting on it, and that of katnus hamochin at the same time, the simplicity of a child. Meaning, skip down to line 48, a humble spirit groping towards his father and seeking solace in him and through him. That's the experience that Rav Soloveitchik taps us into, of understanding how to be a tremendous mind, of how to be someone who has an analytical mind, who can understand and make sense of anything, but at the same time being a very simple Jew, a humble spirit, somebody who's able to think very deeply about what God means to him. And with the loss of Rav Soloveitchik, we once again go through this experience of not talking about these kinds of things that often. How often do we have discussions about what it means when a person goes through the steps of tshuva, and what it means when we're missing God in our lives and we push him away and now we invite him back and we're even more passionately engaged in that relationship than we ever were? Something of that experience he, through various channels, communicated to us. And in doing so, he has sensitized us to the need for a fuller dimension of our Avodas Hashem. I feel that in such a profound way. You read some of the Rav's writings, you feel, I'm missing something in my Avodas Hashem. I'm not appreciating where God fits into everything. Flashes of what he saw and showed both engage and haunt us. Chords of what he heard and said resonate in our ears. Strains of what he felt palpate in our hearts. Beyond detail, however, we have been gripped by Demus Diukno Sharabenu, which means magisterial but sensitive, winsome and yet ultimate, inscrutable, and his spiritual odyssey. At home, we have hanging one picture of the Rav with an engaging smile on his face, and another of him bent over pensively with a somber, almost brooding expression. When we think about what it is that the Rav lost in his life and his description of how much that meant to him, maybe it's a time to think about also, as we read his writings, to think about what it is that we lost with his passing from this world. That we don't have enough discussion about what God means to us in a very serious way. How he fits into our lives and how we are supposed to be changing the way we think about our perspective and our relationship with him. And this is the tremendous opportunity. I'm sorry, this is the last of our series on the Ala Tshuva. But the tremendous opportunity that we have in this time of year is to appreciate all that we're missing, to appreciate all that we have sometimes created a gaping hole inside of ourselves, a tremendous void. And this is the time of year where we have Dirshu Hashem Behimatza, when God is really close to us. Elo Asar Yamim Shebein Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Liyom HaKippurim, the Gemara says. When is God Behimatza? Oh, when is God more present than at any other time in our lives? It's during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. He comes, so to speak, closer to us, and he says, all I'm looking for is a relationship. Just invite me back into your own lives and invite me back into your souls. Allow me to be entered once again into the environment that you orbit. And this is all God wants from us, and it's made so easy for us. And this is what the Shari Tshuva writes in the name of the Yerushalmi. Tshuva lefneichem ve'einam tam chozrim b'tshuva. I give you this opportunity. I give you this incredible gift of taking advantage of tshuva and allowing me back into your lives. Ve'einam tam osim tshuva. That's the greatest mistake a person can make, says the Yerushalmi. Not to take advantage of this unbelievably powerful time of year and to take advantage of every moment that we have to become closer to God and to recognize that, yes, we've all made mistakes and mistakes are okay, but those mistakes should propel us to only have a more deep, a more profound, and a more loving relationship with God himself. Wish everyone a good